96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. There aren't many legal requirements to be president of the United States. Yes, you have to be 35 years old, a natural-born citizen, and have lived in the U.S. for at least 14 years. Those years don't even have to be consecutive years. So on this President's Day, we're asking, if you were president, what would you do to run the country? Well, joining me to talk about this are Lindsay Perry. She's a conservative political pundit.
I am not a conservative.
See, there you go.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
But she's
Harold,
also. She's not even 35 yet. So really, you don't count it.
You could change the age requirement, and then I can.
I can change the age requirement
if you were president.
Mm-hmm. Boy, I tell you, it sounds like the White House now. Also joining me, Nicole Williams, Democratic strategist.
Yes, and I do meet the age requirement.
Yeah, there you go. And and polite. And comedian Eddie Bryan.
Yeah.
Hey, Eddie, how are you? Thank you so much for joining us. Lines are open, and this is certainly a real question that we are asking tonight. But, of course, we have a little levity on this holiday, as many of you have the day off. So give us a call. I'd like to hear what you would do if you were president of the United States. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Follow me on Twitter at H Fisher, WHUR, or Daily Drum, WHUR. We can talk about national security, domestic policy, even how you dealt with the media. And perhaps, you know, if you have a spouse, what do you think your first husband or first lady would do if they were also in the White House with you? Okay, so ladies first. Lindsay, so, okay, I said conservative political pundit. You say no. How should I describe
you? I'm an independent. I think for myself. I don't do the groupthink thing, so, you know, I'm an independent.
But you can still be an independent conservative political pundit.
I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus
Christ. Krista, wait a minute. This is not the faith show.
No, it's not the faith show, but I take my faith everywhere I go, so,
okay.
You know.
Would you take it to the White House?
Absolutely.
Okay, so what would you do?
I would have a board that is diverse in opinion, diverse in thought, diverse in theology, diverse in ethnicity, diverse in economic situations and circumstances. I don't do the group thing, but I think that it's best to have a perspective from all people. I think that, you know, we all come from different backgrounds, and if you have all faiths, we can kind of learn something from each other, and that gains, you know, better perspective to create better policies for the American people.
But didn't we just come from that? And some people would argue that didn't work.
Who would say it didn't work?
I'm just saying, you know, we had President Obama. Can't have a more diverse White House than that. And I'm not just talking about him, but I'm also talking about, you know, his cabinet, his support staff, you know, his advisors and the like. Some could argue that it was the most diverse cabinet since Bill Clinton.
It absolutely was diverse. But in terms of, was it diverse in opinion?
Hard to say.
It's hard to say that. But I know if I were president, because we're not in the past anymore. We're dealing with the right now. Uh-huh. If I were president, I would have intergenerational. I would have children in my advisory board, and everybody would look at me like I'm crazy. But if you don't listen to the kids, there's gold in the youth. I'm sorry, but they know what they're talking about. They have dreams. They're untarnished. People don't tell them what they can and cannot do. They believe in themselves in a way before they turn 7 to 12, before they're shot down. They have great ideas. So we have kids in there, and I would have the elderly in there, grandmothers, grandfathers, you know, some people with some wisdom, some people with some silver hair, and then I would have some people from, you know, present.
Okay.
I think you get the silver head once you get the job.
Right. See, that's why I don't want to be president, because I'm going to have a mean colorist living in the White House with me. I can't go gray like Obama and Clinton and them did. Oh, no. Oh, no.
So, Nicole, what would you do? How would you start off? What would your first 100 days look like if you were president?
So I was thinking about this. And so my first 100 days, you know, there's a couple of things I want to do. First and foremost, I'm a native Washingtonian. So then D.C. statehood would be on the priority list.
Oh, yeah.
Check.
But also, you know, I want to provide free college for all United States citizens, as well free computer training. You know, we need to work as a country to be competitive with other countries across the world. And the only way we do that is to ensure that our people are properly trained. And so providing free computer training and free undergrad college education to all United States citizens would be high up on my priority list in the first 100 days.
I agree with you. I want to know who's going to pay for that. But at the end of the day, I have an idea, and I've thought about it as well. I would actually mandate all airports to fly out children who live in lower income communities to go to a different country, because I believe, seriously, I would have us go to a different country. I would have, you know, children in lower income communities go to different countries to gain perspective on what it's like, what poverty really looks like in some impoverished countries in terms of Ghana, some of the villages in Ghana. I know that one of my friends wrote a book, C is for Coco, and basically she told me that when they went to this village to visit these children, and when she gave these kids lunches, she gave them milk, they were so excited, because usually they only have one piece of bread to share.
But how do we know? But hold on now, because, you know, I think, you know, initially when I was listening to your idea to have, you know, some of, you know, the children from underserved communities, children in poverty, you know, to see, you know, what, like you said, what real poverty is like.
Right.
But as an independent, how do I know that we're going to get our kids back? Are you going to build a wall?
No.
Are you going to let our kids come back?
No, but it would definitely be a partnership with other programs in other countries.
We get to come back.
Yes. And
okay,
we definitely will build a strategy behind that. But I don't want them to just go to poverty, impoverished countries. I want them to go to places like Sweden and Switzerland and Luxembourg to find out other innovations in Hong Kong so that we can compete globally.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. As a person that grew up poor, I would not like to catch a flight to go to another poor place.
It would help you gain perspective.
I got poor down pat.
I grew up poor, but no, not. I'm
they got poor
you.
Down okay. pat. Okay, okay. They just masking it because you mask the pain.
Okay.
I went to Harold asked me.
real quick, Eddie. What would you do? What was your first 100 days?
Oh, my first 100 days, my first executive order, I would order all fathers must go home and raise the babies that they made.
Hey,
that's one. Mm-hmm. Affordable housing available for all, so there has to be some form of affordable housing. That way people can stop living over other people's house. That's why a lot of people get locked up. all college debt will be forgiven.
Especially
yours. Right?
Yeah. Well, today's world, you know, all the unqualified folks are winning anyway. So I just wasted the money that I spent on school for what? And I want reparations for real, for all descendants of slaves. And I'm not talking that free education stuff. I'm talking land and back pay.
Oh, okay. Because I thought you were going to say a mule. And I'm like, I don't know what I can do with a mule.
You can't do anything with a mule.
No. You know, we can, I mean.
40 acres and a tractor.
Yeah.
There you
I think
go.
That we can use, you know, take the mule out and actually, you know, kind of make that's how you make the field even in this country. It's about the money. So we can dance around it, all that education.
So if we do this, are we going to set up a strategy for financial literacy? Because it's difficult for a people who, we don't have generational wealth for us to know what to do with it.
Yes. Okay. I'm sure there would be, I would create a system in place. You got to pay down your debt. You got to do certain things with the money.
Pay your child support.
Pay your child support, get all that backed up. And then we start to create generational wealth from that point on so that we can actually play ball in this country.
Well, let's see what our listeners have to say about this. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, our President's Day conversation. If you were president, what would you do to run the country? Pam, calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Pam? Pam,
hello.
Are you there?
Yes.
Yeah, go right ahead.
How are you?
I'm doing just fine, Madam President.
I would give federal employees no down payment on a house. Help them to be able to get a house.
Just federal employees?
We cannot afford to buy a house, and I think that's a shame.
Federal employees?
Yes. I think it's a shame. People think federal employees are wealthy. We are not. We struggle just like everybody else, and I think it's a shame that we can't even afford to buy a home. You work 30, 40 years in the federal government, and you either have to take money out of your TSP, and for those of you that don't know what that is, it's like a 401k, or borrow some money from somebody or somewhere just to be able to put a down payment on a house.
That sounds like all of us.
I'm sorry?
That sounds like all of us, even people who go to, you know,
well,
students.
Well, yeah, but I think that as federal employees, you know, they keep saying that, you know, you are the best and, you know, at least these politicians and whatnot. If you care about us at all, then you need to give us some sort of something in order to make our lives.
So where do the federal employees live right now? Because we have homeless people on the street, so I'm just confused.
I want the federal employees.
I'm sorry? Just
maybe if the federal employees just not go to the food trucks as much and save a little bit.
And manage their money correctly,
yeah.
Maybe?
Because they're more stable employees. They're the most unstable employees.
Well, here's my thing, Pam. I'm all for people getting assistance and becoming homeowners. And, you know, you live in the D.C. metro. You're in Virginia. And I think, and certainly not to speak for our independent pundit, Lindsay, but, you know, for anybody living in the D.C. metro area who is making a middle class wage, homeownership in 2016, 2017 is virtually impossible.
Exactly.
However,
I don't appreciate us telling us that we don't need to go to the food trucks. And maybe that should upset everybody.
But Pam, hold on. But here's my other point is that not all federal employees live in the Washington, D.C. metro area.
Right.
There are federal employees live all across this country. Mm-hmm. And the reality is that it is not as balanced for federal employees that perhaps work for NASA in Huntsville, Alabama,
right,
or for the federal employees that may work for federal offices in Columbus, Ohio, mm-hmm, or federal employees that work for Los Angeles, California. And so I understand the feeling, you know, because, hey, look, there's some private employed people who need help buying homes. But
exactly.
You're the president, Pam, and I appreciate your executive order. So thank you so much for sharing with us. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you were president, what would you do to run the country? Lanham, we have Ryan, my hometown, calling from Lanham. What's on your mind, Ryan?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Good. I think what I would do is what I've said for years. We need to take care of home first.
Mm-hmm.
We need to worry about our infrastructure. We need to worry about creating jobs here in this country for us. We need to stop selling the country out, sending our jobs overseas. We need to stop worrying about big business, like such as the pharmaceutical industry. Make health care affordable for everybody. I don't care what you make.
Mm-hmm.
Stop charging. You know, somebody told me that they charge $35 for aspirin in a hospital. Why? Because this helps offset the indigent case.
Maybe okay, if we criminalize sugar,
true,
we wouldn't have a problem.
It's worked over in Europe for years.
Mm-hmm.
We need to take care of home. And I'm not saying we shouldn't help other countries, sure.
Uh-huh.
But we got enough going on right here. that we need to deal with this. And then if we have something extra, we need to give it. We've been doing this since 1804, letting people in the country.
Okay. Well, Ryan, I appreciate your input, Mr. President. Thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. And you know, Eddie, you know, that $35 aspirin,
yeah,
it may not always be aspirin.
I can go with that. Because I get a dub every now and then, girl.
I would criminalize sugar. I would make it a substance as illegal as heroin, seriously, because I feel like it has so many grave effects, especially on the African-American community in terms of diabetes.
Mm.
True, well, but then you're going to mess up Valentine's Day.
There's other ways to get sweet.
Oh, my Lord. We're going to be back in just a minute. Leo calling from D.C. Ken calling from D.C. Carmen calling from Germantown. And Vanessa also calling from D.C. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. We're talking about, how would you run the country if you were president? Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a moment.